Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. We began our broadcast life in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench 12 years ago. You can find all the details for Tasting Room Radio at our new website, mulliganstew.ca. The Mulligan Stew radio show is there, the Mulligan Stew podcast, and this show, Tasting Room Radio. It's our annual visit to the Parksville Uncorked and Untapped Food and Wine Festival. It takes place at Tynemarra and the Beach Club Resort, both in Parksville. This year, our guests include the very funny Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations and the heavily kilted Dave Woodward, the brewer at Mount Arrowsmith Brewery. We'll also meet Kev Ward from Wolf Brewing and Clay Potter from Moon Underwater. And then two feature interviews for you. Ross Wise, the new winemaker at Black Hills in the South Okanagan, the maker of Nota Bene. And we'll be talking with the chef he's pairing with, Eric Edwards, the executive chef at Tynemarra. And finally, we close the show with Severine Pant, the winemaker at La Stella and Le Vieux-Pin in the South Okanagan. Enjoy the show. We're heading for Parksville. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, Canada's Winery of the Year. They're on winter hours right now until Easter weekend, open Monday to Saturday from 1 to 4, close Sunday and stat holidays, and they open for the summer on Easter weekend. And just a heads up to wine club members, the next shipment is in March, full of newly bottled releases. All the details at road13vineyards.com. All right, let me just set the scene for you. I've come, as I always do, to Untapped at the Tynemarra in Parksville. It's the start of their Wine and Beer and Spirits Festival. And the first guy I ever talked to here on his first day, on his first pour on his first day, was Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations, which is just up the road. We'll explain in a moment. In the meantime, I asked him, as I would, what are you pouring? What's in the barrel?
So this is called it's a pin cask. So it's a 20-liter stainless steel cask, and in it is Juicy Juice. So Juicy Juice is my Northeast-style hazy IPA, and I have conditioned the cask with pineapple.
Okay, take them one at a time. Hazy?
So hazy Northeast-style IPA.
Okay, Northeast is?
Northeast of the States. Yeah. So this is where the style originated. So
why hazy?
The IPA. I use a lot more high-protein malts, so flaked oats, flaked wheat, and it gives it a softer mouthfeel and leaves a protein haze in there.
Okay, so Northeast, hazy IPA.
IPA. And then I've added pineapple to the cask.
Like, did you just take a couple of cans of pineapple?
Did you exactly what I did.
Did you?
Yep. And so that sugar and that pineapple then naturally carbonates the beer, and it's been sitting in there for a couple of weeks now, ready to go.
First of all, I smelt it from half a room away. It was the pineapple that cut through, but this is beautiful. Is this a summer beer for you?
Yeah.
How much did you make?
That's now that popular that I don't advertise in the brewery that I have it. All my locals know I make it, and they ask, like, so you got any Juicy Juice? Because it's that, if I advertise that I have it, it's gone in a week.
On the bottle, it'll say Juicy Juice?
Yeah.
Have you tasted it yet?
No, I should, though.
Yeah, have sure.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, that's yummy.
Yeah.
Did you make
easy
quite
drinking.
A bit?
Well, there's just that, right? And then I also brought...
What's the alcohol percent before I leave it?
6.2.
All right, you brought some bottles. What'd you bring?
So I also brought my Crafty Cream Ale. And this is just a very light, easy drinking ale. It's the least hopped beer I make. It is my number one seller and has been pretty much from when I opened.
What is the alcohol content that's attractive, or is it the beer?
It's the beer that's attractive. I call it my gateway beer. So I get a lot of people who haven't tried a lot of craft beer, or who get dragged into the brewery by craft beer lovers, and they think all craft beer is hoppy IPAs, and then I give them one of these, and
wait until they try the Juicy Juice.
Yeah, well, they try this first, and they're like, well, this is good. Yeah, because it's just a light, easy drinking beer, but it's got flavor. It's not hippie. It's not hoppy. It's not sharp. It's just a soft, light bodied ale. It's really easy drinking, 5.5%.
Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations. What else is in that ice?
And then I actually pulled out something special. I pulled out a case of vanilla bourbon stout, and that has been in the bottle for a year now, actually.
Did you lose it?
No, it was in my crawl space at home, hidden.
Did you know it was there?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it 2 years ago that we did that first interview?
2 years ago.
It was the first time you were pouring. It was like it was your opening night and the doors were opening.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. What happened in those 2 years?
I've made close to 300 commercial batches since then. I'm still only open Wednesdays 5 to 9 and Saturdays 1 to 5. And now it's pretty much standing room only when I am open. I have learned a lot and I'm still learning a lot all the time.
Have you expanded?
Nope. And I'm not going to.
Have you lost control?
No, that's why I'm not expanding, because I'm trying to keep control. I'm trying to do it all myself. So I have a young friend that helps out in the front room when I'm open. Other than that, it's just me doing everything.
Is the room locals or tourists?
Wednesday night's more locals. Saturday's a bit more tourists, a bit more people.
In the summer, what about that?
Tourists and locals as well.
Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations. All right, describe where we are, because it's a really good highway.
Yes, so I am on the Old Island Highway. As you're heading north out of Qualicum, as you come up out of Qualicum, I'm on the left-hand side.
And not that far left.
No. And if you see the Dashwood Fire Hall on your left-hand side, you've gone too far.
That's, you know what? That's another marker. No, I know there's another marker that I've got. Is there a service station nearby?
Yes, I'm just past the Chevron, okay. And there's two garages. I'm in the same building as Autotech, and he's got a very big sign.
I missed you about first five times, but we finally found it.
That's the thing. It's a destination, right? And that's the other great thing. It's supply and demand, about only open 8 hours a week. If you want my beer, you've got to come and find it. I'm in one local liquor store at the Shady Rest, six restaurants, and that's it. I've turned everyone else down. I've turned five.
So you've become a destination.
Yeah. So if you want my beer, you got to come find it.
Okay. He is a Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations. Love Shack Libations. If somebody did a power move and say, we want all of your beers for our restaurant chain across Canada, what would you do?
No, thank you. Once you're in a liquor store and a restaurant, like if you say yes to them, it's a slippery slope. You say yes to them and then you can't supply them, then it's not good for business.
And what's still to come this year?
I generally release a new beer every Wednesday. Oh, yeah.
Does the acceptance have to be immediate?
When I release a new one, I hope to get 3 weeks of sales out of it. I hope for it to last that long, or maybe even a month. Generally, it's after 2 weeks, it's gone. One of my favorite things in there when I'm open is opening beer that aren't on the list for people. And now all the locals know. They're like, so what do you got? And I'll open some a bit early just to see how they're coming along for people in there. And so people know, and I have an upcoming feature board. And so they look at the board, they're like, well, next week is your award-winning post-ride Pilsner.
He is a Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations. So Dave, are you going to do a weed beer?
Thinking about it. Definitely thinking about it.
Would it have to be like a stout?
I would think so. You'd want something pretty full-bodied so the weed wouldn't be overpowering. Okay. Well, that's the other thing that happened in those 2 years. I did win a third place at the BC Beer Awards for my post-ride Pilsner.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Was there money went with that?
No.
No.
And that's,
got a nice
that's
plaque.
Fine. I got a trophy, and that's all that matters.
Any cider plans?
I have a cider, actually. I make a dry apple cider every year from organic apples from Arrington, and it's ready probably the middle of May.
Okay, re-pour that, because we're going to do a thing. We're going to do some tasting notes. This is Juicy Juice. I'm telling you now, it's going to be a very popular beer.
I want to make a low-alcohol one called One Beer Wonder, and just a nice, light 3.5% beer.
Very interesting. What's your website?
LoveShackLibations.com.
And the address again?
It is 4134 Island Highway West in Qualicum.
Okay. If you see the Chevron station on your left-hand side, it's an old Chevron station. Like, it's an old funky retro. You're approaching
close. You're close. You're about and half, and then just go half a kilometer past that. Look for the big sign that says Autotech. And when I'm open, I have a sandwich board out on
there's
the highway.
There's that sandwich board. People have run over it so small.
True.
And if you go too
far. I put lights on it now, though.
If you go too far, you see.
The Dashwood Fire Hall.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome.
Have a great summer.
Thank you
so much.
Year. Thank you.
He is a Dave Paul from Love Shack Libations, and we're in Parksville.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Okay, here's the deal. We're at Tynamera, and this is Untapped. Uncorked is tomorrow night, and we're going to be speaking with the new winemaker at Black Hills and others. But we started Tynamera because this is where all the beer and spirits people are. And 2 years ago, the two people I talked to were Dave Paul, who was literally, it was his opening night. It was the first pour of his beer life. Dave Woodward was standing in front of a sign saying Mount Arrowsmith. And if I remember correctly, Dave, you couldn't pour anything because you hadn't started to brew yet.
I think we had some stuff
under the table
fermenting away, so to speak, but not actually for service yet. Our license had to come through, but it's fully come through now, and you can come enjoy our beer.
Okay, so what happened in those 2 years? Can you explain?
Oh, let's see. We just opened, flooded the gates, just opened. People of Parks of Colk embraced having a local brewery in town. Won a few awards here and there. It's done very well. And the community of Oceanside has really embraced having a local brewery here.
What happened to the beer? What did you set out to make, and what are you making now?
I've always set out to make a really good quality craft beer. I think I've done that so far. We've got a nice good range of our beers, mostly ales, some different Belgian ales and stuff and whatnot. And we're just getting busier. We've developed our tap room. We expanded last year, put in a kitchen. We now serve some food, some tapas, tacos, lovely things like that, some flatbreads, that kind of stuff. Make it basically an experience to come in and drink craft beer in a tap room and watch us work in the back. And
I've asked my wife 15 times where you are. And she points in a direction and says, oh, they're just over there. Where the hell are you?
We're basically behind the Boston Pizza, if anyone knows, Parks of Qualcomm, 109-425 Stanford Avenue East. In the industrial area, you can come see us. The sign's right up front. And come eat some, drink some good beer.
Okay. Tell us about the big award.
Let's see. The first year we're open, we won the BC Brewer of the Year for silver medal for our Saison and a blonde for our gold for a blonde. That did very well for us. Let's see. Last year we won the International Brewing Awards for our blonde international best gold nail, and again for the Saison. And last year for the BC Brewing Awards, we won silver for the IPA, which is a very competitive category. So I was quite happy to win that.
What did that do for business?
Basically, just increased demand means I have to make more beer and just keep going there. So I basically don't get much time off. Just work, come to these events, and go back in the brewery and make beer again tomorrow like I'm doing and just keep going.
I know the awards are great, and it's great to get that recognition, but you were going to do what you were going to do anyway, weren't you?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm just going to make the best beer I feel I can do on our system, and I do, and people like it. That's great, and they seem to do that.
You in particular would want to know who's drinking your beer, who's attracted to what you do. Has it changed over those 2 years? Has it gotten younger or older? Is it a gender thing?
Not really, no. It's like this is a very broad and diverse population of people here in Oceanside. I mean, it's mostly known for being a retirement committee, the retirement capital of Canada.
You're the youngest person in town.
Pretty much, yes. Well, there's a six-year-old somewhere around here, but we can't serve them beer.
Not in the beer business.
It's very diverse, actually. People, a lot of retirees come in during the day. They come and have some snacks, they'll hang out, and then go home, and then we have people finishing work. They'll come and have some beers after work, and we're also doing music in our tap room now, so people come in a Friday, Saturday night and listen to some light acoustic and just have a good time.
Yeah. What are the single three top beers with you in your portfolio, sales-wise?
Sales-wise are what I feel is best.
Yeah, both.
Well, I'm proud of all our beers. The sales-wise, our blonde is probably Aerosol Blonde is doing very well. Our Jagged Face India Pale Ale is doing very well. It's a very nice hoppy India Pale Ale. Ones I'm quite proud of, I did a collaboration with Pellaford 9 a couple months ago. A juicy Belgian Golden Ale with lots of Ella hops, an Australian hop. Very tropical fruity, very pungent, flavorful. And we just recently did an oyster stout with a local Stellar Bay Seafoods, a local company up in Fanny Bay, with locally cultivated oysters. So it's very tasty, briny, unami-flavored, full-body stout, so I'd recommend you try that.
You're going to do a weed beer?
I have not any plans of that per se as of yet, but you never know. What the future can hold. So it's legal now, so I could do it.
What was the summer hit last year for you?
Summer hit? Everything's good. We did a very good Springtide Belgian Session India Pale Ale. That was good, very good. Our Saison's always very popular. Yeah. Springtide Saison. They're all, I don't know, there's a bunch of different things coming out very soon. We're going to have a very nice locally foraged beer coming out in March 1st, which I picked a locally foraged ingredient. We'll be using that, and I can't reveal what it's going to be, but that'll be released for Victoria Beer Week. You can find out about that coming up in March.
Just a little excited about Mount Arrowsmith, by the way. He is Dave Woodward, the head brewer, Mount Arrowsmith.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. This from their Hobo series. Müller-Thurgau was a class of grapes referred to as hybrids. In the 80s and 90s, these workhouse grapes were scorned and systematically eradicated from the valley. But what was old is new again. and the few remaining patches of now noble and old vines have been rediscovered and revived. Check out the Hatch 2016 Müller Thurgau at thehatchwines.com.
It's the 2019 version of Untapped at Tynemera in Parksville. Everybody's pouring here, but I wanted to talk to brewers. I wanted to talk to the people who actually make what we're drinking and what we're experimenting with here. Kev Ward is the brewmaster at Wolf Brewing Company on Old Victoria Road in Nanaimo. But before we do anything else, because we are broadcast on the internet web machine, right now you can say hello to your mates back home. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Liverpool. I doubt very much they're listening to this, but just on the off chance, I'll say hello to
the boys. It's 8 hours. Hold on a second. They might. Yeah. We can tell them. No, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's 2 a.m., but it's their time. They may be up. It's Thursday, 2 a.m., possibly.
It's Kev. When did you come to us?
9 years ago. January 2010, I moved over here. My wife is from Nanaimo.
And what was your career before you came here?
Well, I was brewing for a few years before, but mainly I built restaurants, Michelin star restaurants, and then I moved into brewing many years ago and continued it in Canada when I moved here. Yeah.
When did Wolf get started and why?
Wolf started about 10 years ago. There used to be a brewery in Nanaimo called Fat Cat, which is a small family-run place, and they wanted out and were selling the equipment, selling the building, and a local couple came in and bought it, changed the name to Wolf and changed the brews. I came on board as head brewer 6 years ago now, and then put my own stamp on it, more of a traditional style, more European British style with a West Coast twist.
Does a brewer, tell me about this, does a brewer audition for a job, or is he or she asked, tell us what your beer destination is?
I told them I would work for them for free for 3 months to show I could do it. And I did, and they liked what they saw, and they built a new brewery on the back of it. So it all worked out well for us all, yeah. As soon as I came on board, we invested and built a brand new brewery.
Kev, a quick one-off. Tell me about Nanaimo water. On average, it's pretty good here.
It's very good water. It's very good water. This, out of all the places I've brewed, this is the least I have to adjust the water.
That snowpack that we see, will we be drinking that?
I would hope so, yeah. I'd hope so, yeah. Yeah, nice fresh water.
That's my romantic mind thinking, look at that snowpack. I'll be drinking that soon.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You needed a hit. You need every brewer and winemaker that I know needs one release that helps to pay the bills while you can figure out everything else. What was that hit for you?
Well, we're pouring two of them tonight, actually. Our Golden Honey Ale is our biggest seller by a long way. It's a nice, flavoursome session beer. A lot of flavour in it, but it's nice, simple, easy drinking. And we also do a blend beer, which we blend our Golden Honey Ale with our porter, which is a really good porter, and make a traditional black and tan. We're not always able to have that one in stock, but when we do, it outsells everything. So, but now moving forward, I think this year we're going to hope to keep that on full time. So the Golden Honey Ale and the black and tan, definitely on a more of a cult status. There are people who are Cerberus, which is a triple dry hopped Imperial IPA. People are after that all the time, and that keeps us notorious. When that one comes out, it sells out in 4 or 5 days, it's gone. So
Kev Ward, brewmaster at Wolf Brewing Company, 940 Old Victoria Road, Nanaimo. You'll find it. Do you do seasonal beers?
Yeah, I do one every month, yeah. I've got a Irish Red Ale coming out next week. And then a month after that, I've got a Belgian Triple coming out. And we haven't got to decide what we're going to do in the summer yet. But yeah, we'll do one every single month.
What did you drink back home, you personally?
Me personally? Beers in Europe going back then. A lot of the Belgian beers, actually. My favourite beers are the Belgian doubles. I like Westmalle, Chimay, Rochefort. Rochefort 8 is one of my favourite beers. I'm a big fan of the Belgians. And a lot of, obviously, the English traditional beers, Spitfire. And
do you think the lads back home would like this beer?
They love it. They've had it. I've taken it home for them, yeah. Yeah, I've shipped it back for them, yeah. It's my uncle has a bar fully stocked with my beer, so back in Liverpool,
very,
yeah.
Very nice. Kev Ward, brewmaster at Wolf Brewing Company, Nanaimo. What are you releasing this year that we can tease people with?
Well, I say the Irish Red Ale comes out next week. We've actually just changed ownership. The couple who owned our brewery have just sold it because they just wanted to move on and do other things. And we've got a new couple who've just bought in, and they're full of life, full of ideas. And it's really, really good time to be at the brewery now because they just want to, they're like kids with a new toy, you know. And it's so we've got lots that we've got to talk about and decide what we're going to do. But the Belgian Triple is a really nice one. And then, you know, we haven't really decided what we're going to do, but we have decided that we will be releasing a brand new beer every single month. So
so we'll need to pay attention to the website.
Yeah, but we've just got to wait and see. We'll definitely got some exciting stuff happening because it's
Wolf,
brand new.
Wolf Brewing, that's what we're looking for.
We're looking for Wolf Brewing Company, yeah.
And where the hell is Old Victoria Road? And give me a landmark.
So downtown Nanaimo, is you've got the Firehouse Grill, yeah. Is on Old Victoria Road.
Okay.
Follow that up the hill all the way to the end, and we're down.
Wait a minute, but the road splits left and right. You're saying go right.
Okay, so if you're looking up the hill, yeah, at the Firehouse Grill, it's the one on your right.
Okay.
Yeah, and you follow that to the end, to the bottom of 7th Street, as you go to Chase River. It's down there. Got a nice tap room, just got a lounge license, holds 60 people.
Got food?
We will have food, yeah, and we've got 10 beers on tap. So, yeah, it's good fun. Live music at weekends.
Nice.
It's all good.
Thank you very much. Facebook, just Wolf Brewing. Wolf Brewing,
just
right?
Just Wolf Brewing, yeah.
Congratulations. Have a great year.
Cheers, man. Will do. Have a good night.
Kev Ward, brewmaster at Wolf Brewing Company. 940 Old Victoria Road, Nanaimo. You'll find it.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. Clay Potter is the name. Clay, tell me about Moon Underwater.
We're a family-owned business in Victoria, BC. We just celebrated our 6 years in business, and we opened up a distillery.
Was it your mother and father?
It is, yes.
And you're in the family business.
Family business, yeah.
Did you have to be coerced into doing this, or did you like the idea?
No, we liked the idea, yeah. We were planning a brewery, and my parents were planning a bar, and we just sort of came together on our...
Come on, how many people, how many kids growing up have parents who want to run a bar? You're lucky.
Very lucky. My stepdad designed the first tanks, built them for Phillips Brewery.
Oh.
So I was around Phillips when I was a teenager. And so we always sort of had in our mind craft beer and getting into the beer scene.
How did you train yourself?
Started home brewing. Then I started working at Lighthouse. I brewed there for a while. Then I moved to Europe. I did my master's in brewing in Scotland and spent a bit of time in Germany and went and worked for some big breweries and hated it, and decided to take the chance and do our own.
And the time was right.
The time was right, yeah.
This is beer time. Right?
We were the 50th brewery when we opened about 6.5 years ago.
Wow.
And there's about 200 in BC now.
What did you bring to pour?
We just brought our light side, which we just started putting in six packs, and our Hippest Funk, which is a farmhouse IPA. So we just bought a canning line. We've ran it twice now. So we do all our beers in bombers, but we're starting to get them into cans as well.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. What's under ice there?
Oh, that's our light side and our hip, our new cans. And then in here we've got our Shaft mix, which
is our big seller from this. This is radio, and you pointed at a yellow plastic jug.
Oh, yeah. That's a cocktail that became famous in Victoria with bartenders. After your shift, you go and you get a fresh shot of espresso and usually get some Kahlua and some vodka, and you mix it together with the espresso. You put it on ice and you shoot it back with a straw. And it's a pick-me-up after you've been working all night and you're ready to keep going.
And you're pouring that for people?
We are pouring it for people, yeah. So we started making it in the distillery, the Shaft. So people only know about it in Victoria and Calgary.
What? Tell me about the Shaft.
So it's we make it with a blend of Moon Espresso Vodka, which is just our vodka soaked on espresso beans from Outred Coffee, then vanilla, almonds, and lactose sugar, and then we top it off with Outred Coffee Espresso. So you take a bottle, it's 30%, it's a liqueur, and you blend it half and half with cream, and it's just delicious.
Why did Calgary pick up on it, do you think?
There's a big debate between who invented it. Calgary says they invented it. Victoria says we did. Apparently, it was invented at Hugo's Brewpub in Victoria in about 2004, 2005. But the story was the bartender was visiting from Calgary. Yeah. He either invented it in Calgary and brought it to Victoria, or he invented it in Victoria and then brought it back to Calgary after the summer.
That could start a war.
Yeah, it's a war. Yeah, what's, ours are better than Calgary's for sure.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. What's your big seller?
For beer?
Yeah.
Potts Pils is our big seller, Pilsner, or Dunkel, Creepy Uncle Dunkel. But I didn't bring those ones. I wanted to showcase some of the new cans. So I figured it's something that people aren't used to drinking out here.
Bring that back again. Hip is Funk.
Hip is Funk.
That's fantastic.
Farmhouse IPA. So an IPA with Brettanomyces and different Saison yeast in there. So lots of tropical fruit hops. So.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. How many meetings have you guys had about doing a weed beer?
Quite a few. I know my buddies over at Central City are working on one right now. So,
how much of that plant do you need to make a beer? Do you just need an infusion? Do you just need a cold soak or what?
Yeah, well, so they went and they bought a whole de-alkalizing machine. So they make their ISA, their session IPA, then they de-alkalize it. Because right now you're not allowed to mix THC with alcohol. Yeah. So that's the way they're doing it.
They're one step removed.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day we used to just pick a bunch and throw it into a cask and let it soak, but I don't know how good the extraction is on that.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. So if your family had been in dentistry, you could have been a dentist.
I could have. I did my original degree in biochemistry, so.
Well, that helps.
I was on my way to med school until I discovered beer. And
how much of your Scottish brewmaking shows up in your beers?
Not a lot. I'm really more influenced by German styles. So I love Scotland and family history there. So Scotland was where I wanted to go to study. But I really love the German beers. And I thought it was something that wasn't being done in Victoria at the time. So apart from Vancouver Island, of course, which does great German beer.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. Two questions I'll let you go. Yep. One is, tell me about this summer. Are you going to announce something this summer, some new beer?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've got Hefeweizen coming out in a couple weeks, and we got a coffee sour with Outrid as well, so a sour beer with coffee, which is very fruity and bright, not like you'd think it would be.
Okay, so how many breweries now on Vancouver Island?
Oh, got to be 25?
It's got to be 50, right?
50,
it's be
50. Oh, yeah, probably. Okay. Yeah.
So can you explain to me how it's possible that Lucky Lager is still the best-selling beer? How is that possible?
It's the old guys. You know? You got to weed them out. I know.
Oh, it's the sons of sons.
People still think it's made on the island. That's the problem.
I can't believe it.
I know. I got guys, my friends my age that still drink it. And even though they can get free beer from me, they
don't they know?
Slowly, one person at a time. That's what this is for. Slowly convert those lucky drinkers.
He is Clay Potter. He's the owner and brewmaster at Moon Underwater Brewery and Distillery in Victoria. What's your website?
Moonunderwater.ca.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The first pink wine of the year is being released by The Hatch today in their tasting room. It's the 2018 Flippin' the Bird Rosé, best enjoyed upside down. A delightful blend of 82% Merlot, 18% Gamay. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. And they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. It's the Untapped and Uncorked Festival in Parksville. Untapped, the beer spirits people are usually in one hotel, Dynamera in this case. And over at Beach Club Resort, it's the wines are pouring for Uncorked. But they both do wonderful dinners. And the dinner tonight over at Tinamera is going to be poured with Black Hills Estate Winery. That second interview we're going to do is with Severine at Vieux-Pin La Stella, and she's doing the winemaker's dinner over at the Beach Club Resort. So, Black Hills Estate Winery, the winemaker's dinner, and Ross Wise, baby steps into his career at Black Hills, has kindly decided to sit down. And frankly, I stalked him. And this is his first interview as winemaker at Black Hills. So give the audience a sense of where you came from, because we're going to want to know that.
Okay, sure. So I'm a New Zealander. I grew up in the south of New Zealand on a big sheep farm and quickly figured out that sheep farming wasn't for me. So I looked into other employment and started off training to become a chef. So I was a qualified chef working my way around New Zealand, and then we went on a tour of a wine region and figured out that I was in the wrong business, so got into viticulture and winemaking from there. So
what years are we talking about?
I was a chef from 1997 till 2001, and figured out that viticulture was for me, so I saved as much money as I could and went and studied viticulture in Hawke's Bay.
What kind of status was the New Zealand wine industry at that point?
It was booming. It's a real, in its heyday then, there was a lot of good export markets developing up and really growing. It was a very competitive place to work, so I guess that's why I branched out and looked to travel around the world, and first stop was Canada.
What brought you to the Okanagan?
So I arrived in the Okanagan in 2016. I'd actually been in Ontario for about 7 years before that, so I'd been looking for an excuse to move west, and the Phantom Creek Estates project was that. I came on as winemaker there in 2016, just across the road from Black Hills.
Okay, his name is Ross Wise. He is the winemaker at Black Hills. He's just starting his career there. It's not often that winemakers, winemakers move from, you know, vineyard to vineyard and label to label, but it's not often that a winemaker is handed an icon. And so what were your thoughts before you made that decision? What were your thought process?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity, as you just said, to work with Nota Bene, which is probably the most recognizable, one of the most recognizable brands in the Okanagan. That's a great opportunity. So, I wanted to make sure that I could do it justice and make sure my goals were the same as the company's goals. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time with getting to know the company in the process. I think generally interviews would last about 3 hours. It would be as much me interviewing them as it was them interviewing me. So we really made sure it was a good fit for me and the company.
Okay, his name is Ross Wise. He is the winemaker at Black Hills. He's just starting his career there. It's going to be wonderful to watch. And there's a winemaker's dinner. So we're going to talk to Executive Chef Eric Edwards from Tinamera. And I asked Chef, which came first, the wines or the food? So what was your thinking going into this? You want to know what the wines are first.
We want to know what the wines are. So we researched the winery that wanted to get involved with us. And then we came up with a rustic menu, which we like to do. And some heavy, we've got a bison tenderloin on there. So we needed a real rich red wine for that. And they came to the table with some good choices.
Is it a trade-off between you and Ross, or does he give you his portfolio and then you build your food?
We do a little bit back and forth.
Black Hills Estate Winery, the winemaker's dinner, and Ross Wise, baby steps into his career at Black Hills. The alibi, Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, 2017, love it.
So yeah, that's our 75% Sauvignon Blanc, 25% Semillon, which we really love. It's very hard not to make a Semillon out of it because it's so delicious. But at the same time, this product, we've been making it since 2003. It's a staple for the winery. Spends a little bit of time on older French oak puncheons, so it gets a bit of richness from the barrel and lees aging. But yeah, ultimately just a delicious wine.
Let's go ask Chef what he's going to pair with that wine. The Alibi Sauvignon Blanc Semillon, a beautiful blend, 2017.
Yeah. Which is nice. So a rich cream cheese. You know, that was the goat cheese in there. A little bit of honey in there. A little citrus.
A little fig cracker.
A little fig cracker. And then that'll pop the wine. We look forward to it. We've done a little research, once again, a little research in the different dishes. And they certainly they did flavor well.
It's kind of important because you don't want the wine to overwhelm the food or the food to overwhelm the wine.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I've been taught never vinegar with wine. Never vinegar in my dishes. So I have to be careful.
Okay. That's Eric Edwards, executive chef at Tanamera. We're at Rusted Rake, this great coffee shop, lunchroom, gathering place in Nanoose Bay. And Ross Wise has joined us. He's the winemaker at Black Hills. And the dinner tonight is at Tanamera. All right, so then came the Viognier. I love your Viognier.
I love our Viognier too. It's one of my favorite whites we have. Yeah, so this is a really aromatic wine, but at the same time, it's got richness and weight and softer acidity. So it's an aromatic white that drinks a little bit like a Chardonnay. So we do age this in stainless steel. We're not out to hide the fruit flavors, but it definitely has the richness you'd expect from a Chardonnay or a richer white wine.
For those of you who love the answering to pairings, this is what Executive Chef Eric Edwards at Tanamera placed on the table with that Viognier. And the next wine that Ross wants to pour is the Viognier 2017. What did you do with that?
We're going to do a roasted Arctic char. We're going to put a little bit of caviar with that. And pea puree with a little bit of saffron foam.
Oh, you're just showing off.
I know, a little bit. It's a lot of fun. It was so much fun to do the work. It really is. I mean, I'd like to do more of the wine dinners because we get to build, and it's a lot of fun. It's just different flavors.
It takes you places.
Exactly. Oh, definitely. I went back to doing like food pearls and different things we haven't done for a while. It's fun. It's fun to get in there. It's like a carrot juice pearl. It's beautiful.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. He's Ross Wise, the winemaker at Black Hills. And the other voice you hear is Eric Edwards, executive chef at Tanamera. Duck Three Ways is a big meal. Duck Wellington, sausage, and breast. Chef is going to explain that in just a moment. But the surprising wine being poured is Cellarhand Red 2016.
I like to call it a field blend. I'm not a marketer, but I like to call it a field blend because it's a blend of all the red varieties we have in our field. It's not a traditional field blend in the sense of we pick it all at the same time, but it really does show all the red varieties we have in our vineyard. We do make it in a lighter style. It's designed to be consumed a little bit earlier, perhaps a little bit fresher in terms of fruit flavor and acidity. So that, I hope that would be an amazing pairing for the Duck Three Ways, and I can't wait to try that.
What's in the blend for 2016?
So that's Merlot, Syrah, Carmenere, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon.
But that's always been the case, right?
That's always been the case. There might have been a little less Carmenere or Syrah any given year, but that's the varieties we grow, and that's what's in Cellarhand Red.
I have a thing about field blends. How about you?
I love them. Yeah, I'd love to do a lot more co-fermenting in the future. That's probably something I would like to bring with me to Black Hills and, yeah, have four or five grapes fermenting in the same vat.
If you see field blend on a label, anybody's label, you want to turn that label around, and they should, if they're doing their job, tell you what's in there.
Yep, exactly. Yep. There's no point in knowing it's a field blend if you don't know what's going on in there.
All right, here's what Chef Eric Edwards did with his Duck Three Ways. Duck Wellington, sausage, and duck breast. Candied ginger, cherry, celeriac puree.
It's delicious. It's very celeriac puree. It's very, you know, it's a little buttery flavor. It's nice and rich. You've got the little bit of cherry in there, the ginger, the candied ginger. You've got a little bit of the spice from that.
Describe Duck Wellington.
Duck Wellington, what we've done is we've taken a pulled duck, duck leg. We've confit that for hours. A little bit of orange, a little bit of thyme. And then we've pulled that apart with some phyllo pastry, a little bit of wild mushrooms, and we've blended that together.
And then you bake it in the phyllo.
We bake it in the phyllo. And it's delicious. We should be show and tell. I should actually have the items
here.
Next time we're going to do this.
And the
we'll get to come in.
Thank you.
And the sausage is a duck sausage. So we've taken that, and that's a little bit of honey in there too, a little bit of thyme, and it's great flavors.
Chef Eric Edwards, executive chef, Tanamera. This is interesting. This is a twofer. Ross Wise, the winemaker at Black Hills, and executive chef Eric Edwards at Tanamera. And we're talking about their Black Hills Estate Winery Winemaker's Dinner here in Nanoose Bay. Okay, Parksville. Then you have to pair something with the Nota Bene 2016. You like the idea of a bison tenderloin?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is our main course of our wine lineup, and bison tenderloin sounds like a pretty good main course to match it with.
Here's what Eric Edwards, the executive chef at Tanamera, did with that bison tenderloin.
Just the gaminess of it, the richness of it, a lot of herbs in there, a little bit of pepper. We wanted to do a play on a rusti, potato rusti, so we put the rutabaga, a little bit of Yukon Gold potatoes, and then the crisp of the rutabaga. We did a confit of onion, so it's a cipollini, and then just that's going to be a rich, the smokiness of that. So a little bit of vegetable on there, a little candied beets on there. Reduction.
Beef jus reduction.
Yep, a little bit of wine in there.
The confit cipollini, he was one of the Marx brothers, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
We're doing the Black Hills Estate Winery Winemaker's Dinner. We've gotten our way through the Alibi Saint Blanc Semillon, Viognier, the Cellarhand Red, the Field Blend, the Nota Bene 2016, Now we get to the cheese course, but I love the wine that went with this. How on earth did we get to a Tempranillo?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it ended up on the list, but I'm very glad I did. It did. This is one of my favorites in our lineup. I love going over to the tasting room and helping myself to a glass of this one. It's just got all that great new world fresh raspberry fruit, but it's got this old world earthiness that you would expect from a Tempranillo as well. To me, it's one of our most complex and interesting wines, and I think it'll be great with a cheese course as well. I'm quite excited about this course.
Okay, let's go to Tanamera. Here's Executive Chef Eric Edwards. The next is not exactly a tender shrinking violet.
Oh, no,
a Tempranillo.
No, it's a delicious wine, and it's very strong, and it goes match very well with the cheese. And it's just then the buttery, the flavor in there. One is smoked, one is not smoked, and it goes very well with the wine.
Rosemary shortbread?
Yeah, it's almost like grandma's shortbread. We put a little pepper in there, a little bit of rosemary, and it's just a delicious cracker.
Yeah, wild rose petal jelly.
Yeah, it's just neat. And it's got a really neat flavor, a little bit of ginger in there too, and it just matches very well with the wine.
And you pair it with the Tempranillo.
The cheese is going to be nice room temperature, so it's going to be like very buttery. It's going to melt in your mouth.
We're back at Rusted Rake with Ross Wise, the winemaker at Black Hills State Winery. And the winemaker's dinner is almost done, but here's the deal. You're not going to believe the dessert. I'm going to start with Eric Edwards and let him explain what the dessert was. Eric Edwards, go ahead.
Oh, no.
It's the 2016 Syrah, the big, big, big Syrah from Black Hills.
We match that with a chocolate, and like a non-sweet chocolate souffle on purpose. We're going to do that with a coarse sea salt on top, and they're going to do a little pairing at the dinner to go a little bit of the chocolate, a little bit of the salt, a little bit of the wine, and then to play with it. It's going to be a little wine course.
What is essential to that Syrah? Is it the salt or the chocolate?
The salt. I mean, the salt just popped it. It was just amazing, the flavor. It just... When you took a little bit of the salt and with the chocolate, a little bit of the wine, it opened up.
And believe it or not, with that chocolate souffle and poached pear, double-baked, salted, Syrah reduction, your Syrah 2016 finishes the night.
Yeah, it's a fun choice to have a red wine with a dessert. I think it's going to work fantastically, having Syrah in the reduction. And then the Syrah in 2016, obviously we talked about the really hot vintage that was, so we've got lots of ripe sort of strawberry berry flavors coming through, softer acidity, some sweet spice from French oak barriques. I think it'll pair beautifully. I can't wait to try this.
How are we doing on the Carmenere?
I've had to do a bit of research on it, I'll be honest. I've only been making it for the last couple of years, but I'm very excited about it. I've been able to try a couple of the older vintages Carmeneres that we've made, and it's really exciting how it ages and how fresh it can be in its youth as well. I think it's an exciting one. But yeah, I tried the 2013 Carmenere last week, and that had all faded, and it was meatiness, smokiness, and blackberries. It was fantastic.
How's the Chardonnay doing?
Yeah, excellent. We're about to release the 2017 Chardonnay, which we're really fond of, actually. It's creamy, restrained fruit, but it's still got fresh lemony acidity and just subtle oak from the puncheons.
You make a Roussanne that, first of all, you use for blending, but thank goodness you actually release it as on its own.
Yeah, it's just a small batch we make every year, but we get a little bit of Roussanne every year, and we age it in, again, neutral oak barrels, which seems to be the way we like to age our white wines. It's a creamy variety, just subtle flavors of pear and apple, and it's just delicious. It's got a bit of a following in our club
it's
as well.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Any Marsanne out there?
We're looking. We'd love to get some Marsanne, but yeah, we might have to wait until we replant some vineyard.
And is there a blend that we've forgotten? I remember Ipso Facto came in. There was another came in.
We just bottled our addendum, actually, which is the second ever addendum. There was one back in 2012, if my memory serves me right. So that's our Merlot-dominated blend. So with our Nota Bene, our flagship red, we're Cabernet Sauvignon-dominated, like a left-bank Bordeaux blend. The addendum is a Merlot dominated with a Cab Franc. Right back, exactly. So it's a delicious wine. We're really, really happy with the 2017 club-only wine, unfortunately, but it's already going quickly.
So along with the Ipso Facto that came in, there was one called Per Se.
Okay, yeah, Per Se, I think that's our ode to Cabernet Franc, because we think Cabernet Franc's fantastic in our Black Sage area. Really grows nice and ripely in our sandy soils. So that's the showcase for Per Se. But as with a lot of the Bordeaux varieties, we think it's best as a blend. So while it might be 80% Per Se, we add a little bit of something else just to bring out the best of it and to really complement it.
What is that something else?
Actually, we go with Syrah. We find that our Syrah really helps the add a little bit of richness and fine tannin to really complement the Cabernet Franc.
Tell us about the club. How did we get in on the club?
online, obviously, or you can come
on the website.
On the website, yep. Or you can come and visit us on Blacksage Road at the retail store. Club members have a lot of benefits. They can taste exclusive wines, such as the addendum that we release occasionally. We have club-only wines.
I know a wine we should be talking about.
Which one?
Your extremely popular rosé.
Just finishing up the 2017 rosé, which is 100% Pinot Noir. Quite a dry style of rosé. Just a fresh, fruity rosé, but still dry and just a lot of typical Pinot character to it.
Congratulations on the gig.
Thank you. I'm really, really happy.
Welcome to the island.
Thank you. First time here.
Have yourself a great year.
Thank you.
He's Ross Wise, the winemaker, Black Hills Estate Winery. My thanks to Eric Edwards, the executive chef at Tynemera. Next, we're going to talk Le Vieux Pam, but specifically La Stella. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. And they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. They're expanding their restaurant for renovations and a sunroom. The restaurant would be closed from February the 18th and will reopen mid-April, just in time for the new wine releases. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.
We have talked to Severine Pent previously, 2013, Clayquot Wilderness Camp. It was an incredible battle royal between Le Vieux Pin, and La Stella was in there as well, and M. Chapuche.
Yes, it was absolutely fantastic. A memorable weekend.
What I remember was you grew up in Montpellier, yes?
Yes, I went to school in Montpellier. Went to do the my engineering diploma and my enology diploma in Montpellier, and worked a lot in the Languedoc, yes.
When you were taking those courses, what did you think you were going to do? Did you have a plan, or did it unfold without any knowledge?
It pretty much unfolded as we were going. And then what attracted me to do that program was the fact that I could learn everything from growing the vines in the vineyard, and then making the wines, aging it, bottling it, marketing it, finance. So I had a very broad vision of the industry. And then as we were going, I kind of decided that production would be my main focus. And then that's what I've been doing ever since. So
the last question about that Wilderness Camp 2013, you poured an Ava for me. I didn't know then it was your daughter's name.
Yes.
How old is she now?
She's going to be 11.
What was the blend back then, 2013, and has it remained constant? Because it's a Rhone one.
It remains more or less every year a blend of Viognier, Roussan, Marsan, and the percentages vary depending on the year. Mostly.
That one was 77, 78, something like that.
Yeah, right now we're more like maybe 50% Viognier, 30% Roussan, and then the rest of Marsan, and then it will depend on the year.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. My honor and pleasure to be having a conversation with Severine Pent, who is the winemaker at La Stella and Le Vieux Pin. I did a special on winter whites because I had heard phrases from other winemakers that they were making winter white. I went, what's a winter white? It's something that goes with winter food, because normally everybody just moves over to reds. But there are some whites that can hang in with stews and soups and winter food. And Ava, by far, was the most mentioned wine by the other winemakers and by the sommeliers. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay, well, it kind of makes sense, because it's the Viognier gives that maybe oiliness and that very fleshy, kind of almost structured palate. And so maybe, yeah, that makes sense.
This is a La Stella dinner, right?
Yes. We're going to feature a lot of the wines from La Stella paired with some Italian-inspired food. So, yes, it will be fun.
For those of you who are just getting into wine, Le Vieux Pin is primarily French. Lovely French, passionately French. La Stella is Italian, and it leans Italian Italian wines. For example, I have the menu in front of me for this uncorked dinner tonight. And you're going to start with an un-oaked Chardonnay.
Yes, so the un-oaked Chardonnay is made in the style of a little bit the Chardonnay from Lausanne, Italy, raised and pit on the lees, so that we have that little creaminess on the palate, but really bright acidity and very lively.
I'm Jerry David Mulligan, and this is Severine Pant, who is the winemaker at Le Vieux Pin and La Stella. And we find ourselves at Uncorked Parksville 2019 in the dining room of the Beach Club Resort. Next comes the 2017 Vivace Pinot Grigio. Is it the shrimp that you're pairing with, do you think?
I think so, yeah. The Vivace is the 100% Pinot Grigio. Again, the grapes are picked a little bit earlier than Pinot Gris that are maybe picked in the Okanagan, just to preserve, again, the natural acidity. We do like a batonnage into the in the tank.
Prawns, Yukon Gold, potato pearls, roasted fennel, sloe, baby beet leaves, figs, chili, oil, black garlic.
We're going to have to be very clever to remember the wine and remember all those different type of food to pair with it. But it sounds like everything is going to be aligned and complementary.
But here's the thing. If you tried to pair with just one thing in that menu, you might get lost in it. So it just you have to take the whole of the food and the whole of the wine.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the chef's job is to taste the wine and then look at all the different complementary ingredients that he can put together to enhance the food and the wine together to bring something that when you have it and you swallow it, you say, wow, that was good.
I'm Jerry David Mulligan, and this is Severine Pant, who is the winemaker at Le Vieux Pin and La Stella, and we find ourselves at Uncorked Parksville 2019 in the dining room of the Beach Club Resort. Then comes the Sicilian Duck Daffy, a southern spiced, crispy skinned Brome Lake duck breast, mesclun green leaves, roasted heirloom tomato and white bean, orange vinaigrette, and they're pouring your Rosato.
Yes, so the Rosato is a blend of Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Sangiovese, the Sangiovese that we grow on the estate. For me, it's almost dry, but a tiny bit of residual sugar. And the Sangiovese and the Cabernet Franc are bringing that lively acidity that you almost don't feel like there's sugar in that wine at all. So that's why I think it's going to be pairing very well with the duck, that orange vinaigrette, like that sweetness, and with the Rosato, it will be quite good.
One of the ongoing conversations I have with winemakers is, did you have a conversation about the color of your rosé? And I have some winemakers go, I don't think about color, I think about what it tastes like. Others say we're very conscious of color. How about you?
It's very important. It's one of my main worry about the rosé. It's one of the most difficult wine to make. So really the rosé and it's the color, and then keeping the color is one of the biggest, hardest job to do. Back from my experience in France, I used to work in a bigger winery, a co-op, and we had buyers coming, and then they would come, and then they say, I don't care about the taste. They would bring that palette of color with a different shade of rosé, and then we'd pick a color and say, I want my rosé. If you can make a rosé that color, I'll buy all your volumes, and it will be out of your door in 3 months. So I've learned to make rosé, and because I can pick my vineyards and I can work in the detail at Le Vieux Pin and La Stella, I manage to have the good color that I want and the taste. So
I love your Rosato. Thank you. The Three Godfathers, spaghetti, an island bison meatball gratin, spicy sausage calzone, roasted Roma tomato paint, BC wild mushroom Rosato, Arancini, and you're pouring your 2015 Espressivo.
Yes, the Espressivo is maybe, I'm going to say, one of my favorite wine at La Stella, and to make. It's mostly Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon, a tiny bit of Merlot and a tiny bit of Sangiovese. So the reverse blend as the Fortissimo. And the Espressivo is nice dark fruit, concentrated, smooth tannin, bright acidity again because of the Cabernet Franc and Sangiovese, and very balanced wine, I would say.
I saw a note about Hungarian and Slovak oak still.
Yes, still. The tannins that are given by this type of oak is very elegant. It's all about the tightness of the grain in the oak, and it's not as powerful. It's more elegant, and that's what I like.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. My honor and pleasure to be having a conversation with Severin Pant, who is the winemaker at La Stella and Le Vieux Pin. The Milanese handshake, braised veal ossobuco, orchestral of root vegetable demi-glace, creamy polenta, and it's your flagship, the 2014 Maestro Solo Merlot. I did a Merlot special, and it's trying to ask the question of BC winemakers, is Merlot getting shortchanged these days in our wine-drinking community? You obviously don't think so.
The Merlot in the south of Okanagan have the tendency to, we have the heat unit, and we have a beautiful terroir that we can grow very good Merlot, like ripe with the proper tannin. And again, it's about the picking time, and then the sites. The Maestoso is coming from one of the highest terrace that we have on the site at La Stella, and it sees sun from the morning till the end of the night. And those grapes, compared to the one down below 25 meters where it's a bit more slopey and it goes towards the lake, they have a completely different taste, completely different structure, and that's where those grapes are coming from.
Do you blend the two?
No, the Merlot Maestoso is just from that top terrace.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm Jerry David Mulligan, and this is Severin Pant, who is the winemaker at Le Vieux Pin and La Stella. And then you finish with the final the Italian bomb, cheesy duck fellow, white chocolate, and mascarpone cheese, foie gras, coffee laced ladyfinger milk chocolate, Grenache with your Moscato.
Yes, so the Moscato is a little bit like a fun project that we have, and it's so vibrant in aromas. There's Moscato, there's Muscat Otonel in it, Muscat Petit Grain, and Orange Muscat.
Yep.
So we have three kind
God bless Orange Muscat.
Different flavors of Muscat. And with those very low alcohol, like 9%, and then the sugar, about 31 gram per liter of residual sugar in there. It's like a little bit like a blink to a recall to the Moscato di Asti, something super fresh, fun to drink, really, you can have it in dessert, aperitif, Sunday brunch is the perfect as well.
Okay, really important questions now, and I'll let you go. Do you miss the ocean?
I do. I love my fix. I was sad I couldn't come for longer and then take the ferry. One of the things I love the most when I come is get on the ferry, go outside, and then get that ocean whiff. Yes. So.
It's like a facial. What are you going to surprise us with this year? What's coming 2019?
2019, we did a little bit of an extension of the winery at Le Vieux Pin. We have a new building, and because we have a new building, we have a bit more space, and we brought in some concrete tanks from Italy, and we fermented some of the Leggerio, so the Unoaked Chardonnay, into concrete, and it gives something absolutely phenomenal, that minerality, that meat palate, that structure that we were maybe missing is there, and I think it's the concrete tank. So the Leggero, and then we did a little bit of the Roussanne as well for the Eva, for Le Vieux Pin, into concrete, and I was able to get as well some bigger oak tank, so 3,000 liter, and so we've been fermenting a lot of Syrah in there as well as in the tank, or concrete tank, so a lot of different structure that are coming into the in play when we're doing the blend, and it's really, really interesting, and brings some more complexity.
Last question. In the years since we saw each other, 2013, how have you changed as a winemaker, and what's influenced that?
I think I became even more aware of constant learning. Any years that I've been making wine in the Okanagan have been completely different. There's no, oh, I've done this, I can reproduce that. No, it's different. So you always have to constantly learn about what nature is giving us, what the terroir is giving us, and adapt. Adapt to not replicate, because no year is the same, but use what it's giving to me, is given to me, to create wine that are as good as what you guys want. if I can see smile year after year on your face, I'm happy.
The point that Severina is trying to make is that some wineries just make that same wine over and over and over again, and it works for them. And that's what some people want. If you want what the land gives you year after year after year and are surprised and delighted and you trust her to make these wines, go along for the ride because it's going to be fantastic, whether it's Le Vieux-Pin or whether it's La Stella. We like what you do. We trust what you do.
Thank you. Then, and a lot of my, I said I would, the biggest chance for me as well maybe would have been that I often take that analogy when you have, you know, those little flower that are dried in a tea, mm-hmm. and then they open slowly when you pour the water, and it's a little bit like that. Like I arrived in Canada, I had all that in me, and then working here with the consumers, with the people in the wine industry, has allowed me to bloom and to rise and then do great things.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Have a great year.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
She is the wonderful Severine Pant, the winemaker at La Stella in Le Vieux-Pin. This is Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. They're expanding their restaurant for renovations and a sunroom. The restaurant would be closed from February the 18th and will reopen mid-April, just in time for the new wine releases. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.